Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Thank you, Lord. Lord, it's so good that we can hope in you. I think those who hope in you, dear Lord, are so alive. And we have got this living hope in us, Lord, to keep us eager. And we just thank you so much, dear Lord, that today we can consider your word. And we can let your word breathe hope in us so that whatever we are going through, whether it's persecution time now or whether it's being put in a position where we really need to hope in you, dear God, we know that you will come through for us because your hope is in us. I pray you energize the word in our spirit so that, dear Lord, we have new energy for the day, for the week, in Jesus' name. Amen. Shakespeare says this, and it's really interesting. He says, "The tender leaves of hope tomorrow blossoms." In other words, if we want to have a better day tomorrow, it is to have hope today. The tender leaves of hope tomorrow blossoms. See, hope is a trusting confidence in a future that is beneficial. Because if you just wish that something happens that is beneficial, it's only a wish. But hope is very different. Hope is a trusting confidence in something beneficial that's going to happen in the future. That's why hope comes with the word blessed. The Bible talks about the blessed hope, the happy hope. So you can only be happy in your hope when you are waiting for something that's going to happen that will bring you happiness, that will be beneficial to you. And the good thing about us is that the Christian hope is based on the person of Jesus Christ. And if we can take him at his promise, just like I told the children just now, if we can take him at his promise that when Jesus comes again, our bodies will be changed and we'll meet him in the sky and there will be no parting after that. If we believe that Jesus is going to come again and we will be given a mansion to dwell with him in eternity, if we can believe that, then a Christian hope is one that is energizing, is one that is blessed, is one that is happy, because whatever Jesus promised to us, he will do. So that's why Shakespeare says, "The tender leaves of hope tomorrow blossoms." If we have that belief and that faith, then when it happens, we will be like a tree of life. We will be able to blossom today, tomorrow, forever. See, those without hope will fall into despair. And we can sometimes go through the motions of life. When we are in despair, and some of us may have been through that stage where you are waiting and waiting and waiting and nothing happens, you can fall into despair. And you can go through the motions of life as though life just goes on and on without anything beneficial for you in the future. You keep your fingers crossed all the time. And sometimes your hope can shrivel or your hope can shrink as to your expectation of the future because you really do not know what's going to happen. I think if we live a life that is like that, hopeless and despairing, then it can be a life that is bereft, that is devoid of stability or meaning or happiness. But Paul the Apostle knew that this is going to happen because he was in the world. He knew exactly what's going to happen. Jesus has given him good words. And he didn't want the Thessalonians to be in a position where they are caught in a place where they are hopeless and despairing. He wanted them to have a culture of hope. And he knows exactly what good hope will do for them. And that's why he wrote 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, just for us, so that those who are put in that position where we really need the hope of God, that we can hope in God and be different going through the situation. So there are three things in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 that I'd like you to look at. Number one is the reason why we hope is for fitness. Is for fitness. Let's turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. It says there, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love all of you have for one another is increasing. Therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. All this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. I think the greatest compliment Paul could give to the Thessalonian church and for God to give to the church was this. He says, I'm right about you. See, God's judgment is right. I'm right about you, God says. You are fit for the kingdom. And the reason why you are fit for the kingdom is because you are fit to go through all the trials, all the persecutions, all the issues of life, and yet you have stood strong. You are fit to share in the glory of God. You are fit to share in the rule and in the reign of Jesus. See, the Thessalonian church was full of hope, even though they went through much persecutions, much trials, and much suffering. What was actually meant to wipe them out, they used it to grow their faith and their love. They are what I call the real illustrations of the gospel on the mount. When Jesus says, blessed are you, count yourself blessed when you are persecuted, for yours is the kingdom of God. You see, what was meant to be there to threaten their safety, threaten even the survival, they did not use that to wipe their destiny off the face of God's map. They took that opportunity to be able to hope in God so that they are able to bring the scriptures to great life for us to follow. We're so grateful, isn't it, for the church in Thessalonica that they can go through such sufferings. And during that time, sufferings are terrible. Romans are really terrible in their rule. That they can go through such a trial and still be able to increase in their love and in their faith. What a good model. I'm reading a lot on modeling now. Not that sort of modeling on the, those catwalk modeling. It's a modeling where we see in the examples of people. I'm trying to get some help from some of the psychologists to understand a little bit more about modeling. But the Thessalonica church is a living model, is a positive model. In fact, it's a transitional model where they transit from not knowing Christ and then becoming Christians and then becoming persecuted Christians, and how they went through the most difficult time just to bring the scriptures to life, that indeed God will be with those who are persecuted, who would seek him and be faithful to him. This, I think, is the greatest paradox and the mystery of the gospel of Christ. You see, the gospel of Christ does not follow strictly this principle that we always learn in the world, and that is there is a cause and an effect. The world tells you if something happens this way, there will be an effect. There's a cause and an effect. But the gospel of Jesus, is powerful. It transcends. It goes beyond this principle of the cause and effect. Why do I say that? I would say naturally, if you are persecuted and you are hurt, you will definitely shrink. You will not engage. You will exit. You will maybe hibernate. You will hide. Isn't that the cause and the effect? If you have been hurt, one of the things that people do when they are hurt is they want to exit, out of life. They want to go someplace and hide. That is the cause and effect. But the Thessalonian Christians are different. They went against the principle of cause and effect because the Spirit of God is in them. Instead, they did the opposite. Their faith grew more and more. The love for one another increased, and they are able to do what they were given to do at that time, to stand up for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's radical hope. That's radical faith. A German poet, I don't know what his name is, says this. He says, character is formed in the storms of life. Character is formed in the storms of life. See, when life gives you lemons, the usual saying is, make lemonade. Have you heard this before? When life throws you lemons, you make lemonade. I want to say this. This is all very nice, but this is not always the case. Because sometimes certain lemons are thrown at us and certain people like to drown in lemon juice. Certain people like to be in inertia, in self-pity, because it hurts too much. And so when lemons are thrown at us, you don't make lemonade. You just get drowned in that situation. But what differentiates between these two groups of people? It is hope. It is hope. Some people can make lemonade when lemons are thrown at them. Some people will not be making lemonade. They'll be drowning in lemon juice. The thing that differentiates between these two groups of people is this thing called hope. But for believers, we have hope in our DNA. We have hope as the seal of the Lord on our lives. When we receive Jesus, hope in the person of Jesus Christ is in you. It's not outside of you, it's in you. And so even though you go through a difficult time, the vitality, the hope that is in you, deposited by the Holy Spirit himself, will defy the limits put on you by life. This is so good. The fitness of God is in you. You are fit in the kingdom of God because of the hope that is put in you, deposited by the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday, I was at Nolamara. And as Rajiv, the song leader, was worshiping the songs, God gave me a picture of hope. I never saw that from that angle. But you see, it's like a seed that has dropped somewhere into the crevice of the wall. You think nothing can grow out of the brick wall because it's so resilient, it's so strong, it's concrete. But if you go around the gardens, especially now in spring, you notice that a lot of life that is hidden inside the walls are actually right now coming out because it gravitates towards the sun ray of hope. It is now germinating, coming out. And it's like hope is that resilient life force that God has put into us, that no matter what you are trapped in, whatever position you are in, God gives you the fitness of that seed. God gives you the fitness of that life to be able to come out and break through limits of that brick wall and be able to come out of concrete slabs and be able to just release the energy of hope that God has put into our lives. Wow, what a mouthful. What a life. The Thessalonian church show us that hope's energy is not just for ourselves. It is not self-centered. It is not introspective. It is not just going to a corner and hope something happens. It is not. The Thessalonian church, the faith and the hope that is in them is interrelating. It is relational. It is interrelating. When the going gets tough, the Thessalonians church faith and love for one another grew more and more. When you're going through difficulties, don't hide. Don't be on your own. Seriously. Seriously. One of the most natural things is to hide and hibernate. Don't do that. Let yourself grow outwards. Reach out to someone. Let someone reach out to you. Let it be interrelational so that you are able to come together and be able to encourage one another. That's why there is this word I think I like to say, and this has been said in secular literature, but I think this is a word that is so biblical, and that is we need to be grateful. We need to give thanks, have thanksgiving, be grateful. Look outwards and be grateful for yourself. Be grateful to others who have come into your life to help you endure this situation better. See, Paul was grateful to the church. Paul was grateful to the church. He says, your perseverance and your faith in all the persecutions and trials that you are enduring is amazing. See, Paul tells the Thessalonian church, you know what? I look at you. You know, when all these trials are increasing, your love is increasing, when all these problems are happening and your faith is still going, Paul says, I am so grateful to God. I'm so grateful to God for you and for the people that you are leading. Can you imagine if you're a Thessalonian Christian going through all that you are going through and you get this letter? Now, we all got in a Bible. But they get letters, right? They get letters from the founding father, the father who is Paul, who gave them this letter and says, you know what? I'm so grateful to God. So grateful that even during this most difficult time, you are still standing firm. Can you imagine how they would feel? They will feel a surge of hope coming through you. Have you ever been in this position where you're so discouraged, you come to church and somebody just says something that is so good to the ears, so grateful to you for being here, and it changes your whole environment inside of you? That's exactly how Paul did with the Thessalonian church and how the Thessalonian church felt. Their hope was fueled more and more. That's why they were able to love more and more. They were able to give more and more. Now, come to something practical. I was just listening to this guy, and he is the professor for happiness studies. Right now, I'm also looking at some things on happiness. You know, your pastor is a growing pastor, right? And he said something quite interesting, and I have been trying to do this as much as I can. He says, you know what? You can learn to be grateful. And he gave an exercise. He says you can do a grateful journal. Three things you enter into your journal every day. Three things you are grateful for. I'm grateful to my wife. I'm grateful to my husband, to my children, to my dog, whatever. And then you write down three things you are grateful for. The next morning or afternoon or night, you write another three new things that you are grateful for. See, when you do that, he noticed that even with people who are much older in their 80s, when life becomes sometimes a little bit difficult for them in terms of mobility or creativity, he says even the people in their 80s and 90s were getting better because they saw new perspectives, they experienced new emotions, they have got precious people in their life that they can be grateful for, and the hope returns to them to live a life that is energetic. Something can be done. See, there are many things we cannot do in our brain, all right? You cannot go and tune your chemicals. You cannot pinch yourself to release neurotransmitters. But you can do things. You can have acts. You can have actions where you are able to bring something inside of you to grow. And it's there. The hope that is deposited by the Holy Spirit is there. All you have to do is to flex the muscles. All you have to do is to activate it. And some of the things that are very practical that we can activate it are actually quite simple. Nothing, it's not going to cost you a lot of things, money to buy a journal. It costs you a bit of time. Maybe it costs you a lot of time to think about what you are grateful for. I notice that when I do counseling, one of the hardest things to get people to really talk about is what they are grateful for. If you ask them to talk about their problems, it's very easy. Woo, automatic, everything comes out. But you say, okay, now, no more problems. I don't want to hear that. Can you tell me something you are grateful for? It takes a long time. because it's not automatic. It's very automatic to remember bad things, but it's not automatic to remember good things. And so that's why we need to choose and depend on the Spirit of God to help us energize the hope that is already in us to think of things that God wants to give us so that we get new perspectives, so that you are fit, so that God says, no, you are fit to even go through the difficulties that you have been given in your life to go through. Now you are fit to rule and reign with me. You are fit. There's for fitness. So hope is for fitness. So train ourselves to be grateful, to be full of faith, to be full of love, so that that will give us the renewed hope for the kingdom of God. Amen. The second thing is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 to 10. Why hope? The reason why we hope is for the future. Is for the future. Let's read that one. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled. And to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. This is really hard stuff to read and to digest, yeah? But if you can believe one thing, you know, sometimes we read about all these things and we get really scared. But if you can remember one thing out of the reading of this passage, your belief is that God is just, you will be able to live life very well. You see, suffering have a way of helping us seek meaning. Or when we suffer, we usually want to find out what is the meaning of life. And it was in the suffering that the Thessalonian church began to discover one beautiful thing. They discovered the character of God. They discover that God is just and that God has got a just and good plan for his followers. If we live our life with the end in mind, especially when you know that evil will be punished and justice will prevail, and when Jesus comes again, all this will happen because he's the just judge, then your life, even though you're going through suffering, will be a lot easier to bear. See, what you have in mind is very important. What you believe is very important. So if you believe that God is just and that God has a future plan for us that is just, then you will be able to go through suffering and they will not upset you as much as when we are bereft of meaning. See, suffering can upset us. And how suffering can upset us is we can sometimes seek justice in our own way, isn't it? If you feel painful, if you are hurt, you want to take revenge. Who tells you this? Hollywood tells you this. Or the Kung Fu movie tells you this. If they are hurt, if somebody hurts their parents, somebody hurt their wife or their children, they will definitely go up to the mountain somewhere to learn some kung fu, and then they will come down, and then they will take revenge. Not just on one, they will take revenge on the whole clan. Am I correct? Hollywood gives you this social modeling. You see, we model sometimes. And so it's very natural when we go through suffering that in order to seek meaning, sometimes we seek justice. And so we get angry the whole time. And this can eat into our spirit. You know, like, why are evil people not punished? We ask questions like, why are the righteous not rewarded? Can you imagine if we live through life always wondering, why are the evil done to us? And why are the evildoers not punished? And why are the just people always in trouble? You will not live a happy life, I can tell you. You will also not live a hopeful life because why do good when you do good, everything bad comes back to you. This is not a good way to live life. But what Paul imparts to the church in Thessalonica is this, that God is just and that he knows how to give justice and fairness in the most unjust situation. That God will not turn against himself to do what is not right. That God will always do right and he himself is the final standard of what is right. And I want to tell you something that is going to be so radical. It's like, really? Yes. God does not need to explain the rightness of his actions to us. Oh, God, no. God does not need to explain his reasons for doing certain things which you might not like. God, no. We want to know. Because we have got cause and effect in our blood. We are raised on this earth. But Jesus doesn't have to tell us the reasons. All you have to know is that God is just. And that everything God will do is going to be fair. You got to trust him. And that if we continue to hope in God and do the right thing, when everybody or everything around us may not be doing the right things, if we focus on the hope of glory, who is Jesus, we will not be bereft of happiness or hope or meaning in life. That's a mouthful. And that's also a mouthful of truth that we have to let it sink into our spirit man, because this will be our salvation. The other thing we must realize is not only is God just, God will reward. God will reward. Just now, you know, I told the kids what the rewards of God were. But now that I'm approaching you, I got to be a little bit more detailed in my theology about the second coming of God, of why God is a rewarding God. Just a few weeks ago, we were at Lighthouse, the people who are above 50, and we were there. We were considering how to be prepared for the second coming of God. And it's so good this morning. Pastor wants me to share with the young people, the children, to be ready for Jesus coming as well. Jesus is coming again. We don't know when, 2 o'clock, 9 o'clock, 12 o'clock, we don't know, but he's coming again. When he comes, he will reward. That's why we need to hope. Why hope? We hope for the future. We hope so that when we go through difficult times, we will not give up the faith. Like the Thessalonian church, even though the opposition goes really intense, that we still hope for him, still remain in him for the future. Jesus, when he comes again, he will seek out those who are still pursuing him, and he will bring us into 1,000 years of peace, of millennium on earth. This is what the Bible tells us, that Jesus will set up his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. And at that time, the bodies of the dead people are raised in a glorified form. And then those who are alive, and we don't know whether we are alive by then, but if we are alive, we will also rise up in our bodies, glorified, and we will meet the Lord Jesus Christ. And then together we will rule and we will reign on earth for 1,000 years without the intrusion of Satan, because Satan will be bound in the bottomless pit so that he doesn't have any influence in the millennium. And after the end of 1,000 years, Satan will be loosed. And he will then try and gather his troops and also all the unbelievers to then battle against Christ. And then that will be the battle, and where Jesus at the great white throne will judge two groups of people. And here we were told in 2 Thessalonians 1, he will judge the righteous as well as the unrighteous. And this is very important. Why do we hope as Christians? It's because of this future. This future is when God judged us, He will not judge us to punish us. He will judge our works to reward us. Now, this is very important. He will judge to reward us. He says He will punish unbelievers for what they have done. God says He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. This is so hard to read, but I have to read it because it's in the scriptures and this is truth. This is what God will judge unbelievers for. But we are not in the same group. So this is very important. Because if you know that you are not in the same group, then when you are going through difficult times, when you are going through the crisis of faith, when you push, when you hope, you know that God will come and reward you. If not in this life, He will reward you in the next. Hallelujah. Into eternity. He says, God comes to be glorified in His people and to be marveled at among all those who believe. God comes to glorify in His people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed, because God, when He comes to judge His people at the great white throne, we are the ones who will be rewarded. Wow. What has got this to do with us? Everything. Because when you know this truth that God is just, when you know this truth that God will reward you, then even though you may be persecuted, you may be wronged, that you are able to stay on course. Even the world may be evil or the world may be unfair, you know that God will keep an accurate record and that He will render just judgment. So what? So that you don't have to get annoyed, you don't have to get irritated by difficult people, you don't have to be in a despairing stage when you go through a difficult time, because you know that your God will be just and will reward you, if not in this life, in due time and into eternity. If you live your life like that, I'm telling you, you can go through difficulties after difficulties in life, you will be like sugar cane. Go through the grind. Why? Have you seen? I know we don't do this here. We don't have nice sugar cane here. It's a pity. But in Singapore, the sugar cane, what do you call those things? Sugar cane, right? You put through that grinder thing and it will go through and all the juice will come out the other end and you drink it, you know, first press. If you can afford that $2 or something, you take the first press. If you want it cheaper, you can do the second roll, second time, and it will go, but no matter what, it will be so sweet, even after several rounds. If we can have this perspective of the Lord Jesus, if we can trust in His character, then no matter what we go through, like the sugar cane going through the grind, you'll be sweet even after a few grinds. Hallelujah. And the good thing is we can still come to church after we have been tested. The whole week we come back to church and then we get encouraged by one another, that our love and our faith grow more and more, and that we tell each other how grateful we are for each other. Tell each other more. Send cards to each other. Emails. Treats. Make things. Cook. Whatever. We are in a household of faith. We need to encourage one another. Sometimes we don't know what we are going through, huh? Sometimes we all look so nice in our nice colors, and sometimes we don't know, and sometimes we don't want to tell. But you know, it's so good to be prayerful and to be humble when we come to church and then kind of like realize that someone is going through a difficult time. And just avail of that resources that you have. Give a smile, say a hello, send a card, say something nice, and you don't know what you do to bring hope to one another. Only because God is just and God rewards that we can have the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ just stirred up in us and increasing as we journey on this earth. So as believers, our hope is brightened. There is no condemnation, only rewards for believers. But we can lose our rewards. We won't get jealous if other people get more rewards, but we will lose our rewards. And so that's why it is good to keep our faith strong and our life vigilant so that we don't please God. And we want to be able to please God all through our lives so that we don't lose our rewards. Hope and be rewarded. The third point is this, and this is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 11 to 12. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 11 to 12. And the third point is, why hope for fruitfulness? For fruitfulness. Here it says, with this in mind, we constantly pray for you, that our God may make you worthy of his calling, and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. God calls the church, and in this case the Thessalonian church, into new and brighter horizons. God called Grace City Church to new horizons, to brighter horizons. That's why in our vision, we say we want to be an influence not only in Perth, we want to be an influence beyond. And beyond can be your home countries, beyond can be the world and nations that is not represented here. We want to be an influence here in Perth and beyond overseas. And God wants to call us into that because that's our vision. God called us into new and brighter horizons. And the best part is this. God gives us the lenses of heaven to process our life on earth. I love this. I don't know where I got this thing, but I got it. This is wonderful. God gave us lenses from heaven to process our life on earth. If God only gives us lenses of earth to process the earth, then our life is only one-dimensional. But God, as the just God and rewarding God, even in our present life, in the church age, God gives us lenses from his very throne room so that we can process our life on earth. The power of God that is in the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart provides the energy for change and development. That's why as believers, sometimes when we look at the situations around us, like for example, the drought, we raise $1,777. Why? Because God gave us lenses from heaven to look at the trouble around us, to look at the depravity around us, to look at the poverty around us and do something so that we can change and we can develop goodness on earth. That's the reason why God wants us to dominate the earth. Why do you think God wants us to dominate the earth? To kill bad people? To go to some mountain, learn kung fu and kill people? No. God wants us to dominate over evil. Dominate over depravity, over poverty, over things that are not meant to be on human beings. God give believers the lenses from heaven to process the life on earth, to give an assessment of earth and said, this situation needs help. This situation needs relief. We have the opportunity. We have the ability. We have the hope. We have the resilience. We have the faith. We have the love. We can do it. And when you do it, something happens. Something happens. Goodness is being restored. Change is being restored in families, in societies. That's why this verse is so good in verses 11 and 12. It says, the hope that we will be rewarded must cause us to desire for goodness and be prompted by faith to do things for God. We need to have that hope that desires for goodness, the hope that is planted in us, desire for goodness, be prompted by faith to do good for God, because that will command the fruitfulness of God. God says, I will bring to fruition every deed that is being prompted by faith, every deed that desire to see goodness. That's why under every circumstances, we can do that. I happened to, when I was preparing this sermon, remember the poem that was recited to me by my teacher in the Bible class. This is a very old poem, but so good when I read it in this context. For us who are going through difficult times and times where hope is not very easy to give out, I think this is a really good poem to remind us that when we desire for goodness and we are prompted by faith, God will make it fruitful. It says this: people are illogical, unreasonable, and self-centered. Love them anyway. If you do good, people will accuse you of selfish, ulterior motives. Do good anyway. If you are successful, you will win false friends and true enemies. Succeed anyway. The good you do today will be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Honesty and frankness make you vulnerable. Be honest and frank anyway. The biggest men and the biggest ideas can be shot down by the smallest men and the smallest minds. Think big anyway. People favor underdogs but follow on top dogs. Fight for a few underdogs anyway. When you spend years building, may be destroyed overnight. Built anyway. People really need help, but many attack you if you do help them. Help people anyway. Give the world the best you have and you will get kicked in the teeth. Give the world the best you have anyway. This is radical hope, that you believe that God is just, that you believe that God is a rewarder, and that God wants you to be prompted by the desire for goodness, that when you're prompted by faith and you do it and you know that God will be the one who reward you, you can go through all this sort of situations. You will not be bereft of hope, you'll not feel despair, and you'll still live life richly.
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.